to you. Yes.
Come on.
You have your Bibles. We're just kind of a launching place here. Philippians, and I know I read Philippians a lot. Philippians chapter number 4. Amen. But verse number 4. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand.
Yes.
Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God,
yes,
which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. And then he goes on down and tells these famous verses. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on
yes.
these things. Hallelujah. Paul had organized many churches, and his interest in them never seemed to cease. Hallelujah. I've been going through the Word of God again this year, and here lately I've been covering a lot of territory, of course, on my headphones while I'm standing on that mower. Amen. And I was dealing with Paul, and he was going through Corinthians, you know, through the book of Corinthians, and how he was in the hired house. And I thought about that, Brother Tommy, how that Paul ministered all the way down to the end. Amen.
Yeah.
When he was free, he traveled the known world of that day. Man, he traveled great distances yes. preaching the gospel. Amen.
Right.
They had him locked up, and people came off, and the Bible said, as many of them as would come, he'd take them in and teach and preach to them, Brother George, the word of God. Amen. That's how much Paul loved the church.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I don't know about you tonight, but I would to God, amen, that we have men and women that had a sincere, burning desire, love for the church. Hallelujah. Amen. And I tell you, the church is important to God, and it's important to me. Amen.
Yes.
Is it important to you?
Yes.
My. And what is the church? Amen. What is the church? That's a good question to ask ourselves. Is it this building here, 1163 Jackson Avenue? We can name, you know, half a dozen addresses of churches we know. Amen. And yes, this is the place we gather to have church in.
Yep.
But the church is right here sitting in these seats tonight. Amen.
Yes,
that is the church. Hallelujah. It seems as though that the church of Philippi was a favorite of Paul's. Amen. He loved this church of Philippi. And in the text, he calls the members of that church, my brethren, my dearly beloved and longed for, my joy, my crown, my dearly beloved. Hallelujah.
Yes.
He felt, that's over there in verse 1. Amen. In that same chapter, he felt this love. Amen. This sincere unity, if you will, with the brethren. Hallelujah. And if the Lord would help us, I'm going to take a little different view tonight. Amen. I dealt with this some on the past. I felt like hitting some of this again. Amen. It's been several probably years ago when I kind of went this route. And when you preach a message once every 5 or 6, 7 years, folks forget it anyway.
That's
amen.
Right.
But I dealt along these lines several years ago. Amen. But I'd like to ask us, amen, and deal with some areas of Christians that I'd like to call people that the church can't do without.
Come on. Bro.
Amen. People that the church, Brother Anthony, cannot do without. Hallelujah. Brother John, give me Matthew chapter number 25. Amen. Matthew chapter 25, starting at verse number 21. Amen. And there's a lot of things that the Bible commends. And for some reason, men commend greatness. If somebody does great things, we just rant and rave over how great of things they've done. But the Bible never does rant and rave over anybody's greatness.
No.
Woo. Right. Hallelujah.
Right.
Or brilliance. Amen. Right. You let an Einstein or somebody come, and now everybody's ranting and raving over old Elon Musk, and I'm not real sure all this is really great. Amen. And now we've got cars that drive themselves. Now we've got cars that run off batteries that's going to make the environment cleaner. And it takes a whole lot more copper and a whole lot more precious metals to make all these massive batteries to power these cars. And then when these batteries go bad, what are they going to do with all these components in these batteries? Amen.
Right.
I'm not so sure. I'm not a super smart guy, but I'm not so sure they felt that far ahead. Amen. But men in this day, they commend greatness. They commend brilliance. I like to let you know what the Bible commends. Amen.
Yes.
Matthew 25 and 21. Tell us what it says, Brother John.
His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Woo.
Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord.
Well done, thou brilliant and magnificent fellow. Amen. Well done, thou a guy that has accomplished a lot in life. Amen.
No,
but he said, well done, thou faithful servant. Hallelujah. Amen. I tell you, the church can't do without folks that are faithful. Amen.
Right.
And if there's ever a time, Brother George, that the church needs faithful members, amen. Again, it's today. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen. You know, there was a time whenever, amen, people were sold out to their church. Amen.
Yes.
And I read or heard maybe recently that at a time there was a preacher in America for every 2,000 members. It's way worse than that now. Amen. But I tell you what, we need old-fashioned, black-back, Word of God preaching, amen, Bible-believing, Holy Ghost-filled holiness preachers again today, don't we?
Right.
Amen.
Right.
God give us preachers, amen,
right,
in this hour, amen. Praise God. God commends faithfulness. Give us faithful members, amen. And I'd like to throw this in while I'm here, amen. And it's not just only for the preacher to be faithful, amen. But it's for the members to be faithful also. Hallelujah. I don't know how people get things so mixed up, but they think, well, it's all right if that preacher lays his life out on the line. And it's all right if that preacher, amen, has to give 100%, has to give it all. But it's all right if I skimp, amen, and not give up. No, it's not the way it works, amen. I tell you, everybody's got to give all, amen. One of these days, we're going to be judged. And I want to let you know that tonight. We're going to stand on judgment day and give an account for our faithfulness. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't so much do it anymore because I'm self-employed. I guess I could give myself an evaluation, Brother George. But I remember when I worked at St. Mary's, they'd call you in once a year. Amen. And they had about three or four areas they would evaluate you on. Amen. Attendance was one of them. Amen. And tardiness was one of them.
Yeah.
Job performance was another. They always had two or three goals that they would say, this is a goal that we want to meet this year. I remember one time it was falls. We didn't want to let so many people fall. Amen. And I tell you what, Brother Daniel, as far as I know, I didn't let not one of my patients fall. Amen. The whole year long. And so when it got down to evaluation time, I never missed no work. I never showed up late. I never had nobody fall on my own. Had a pretty good evaluation. Amen. Hey, I'd like to tell you tonight, one of these days, church, you're going to have an evaluation.
Woo!
Amen. You're going to stand before God. It ain't going to be for the preacher. It ain't going to be for your family. But it's going to be for you. I've got to give an evaluation for my life. Have I been faithful? Amen. Have I really did what God has called me to do? Amen. One man was a lawyer in a certain church. He had to pray for my voice to be touched. One man was a lawyer and another man was a janitor. But this man that was a lawyer, Brother George, was given a Sunday school class. But in the process of time and work and busyness and putting job ahead of his work for God, his calling for God, amen, his faithfulness was really being hindered to the Sunday school class that he was given to teach. Until finally he resigned. He said, I've got too much to do to teach the Sunday school class. I've got too much demands from my job and everything else I do. I can't teach the class. Amen. Well, in that same church was an old janitor. Amen. And most people look at the lawyer and they think, well, He's higher than the janitor. Amen. Well, that old janitor, Brother Tommy, loved the Word of God. Amen. And so they awarded him that Sunday school teaching job. And you know what he did? Every Sunday morning, there he was. Every Sunday morning, he was prepared. Every Sunday morning, he gave out the Word of God as God had dealt with him. Amen. So my question tonight is, which man's going to get a greater reward in heaven? That lawyer who had lots of money, a lot of prestige, a lot of fame, a lot of people knew who he was? Or that old janitor, amen, that was down there in the crook in the cranny, keeping the closets clean, keeping the floors clean, keeping the school clean. Amen, great God, I tell you who's going to be rewarded with gifts in heaven one day. It'll be that one that was faithful, amen, and said, God, I don't need pat on the back. I don't need the applause of men. I just want to be faithful. And I come to tell you tonight, that's all it takes. That's all it takes. Just be faithful, amen. Just do what God has put in your heart, and do it with all your heart, amen.
I got to move on here. Amen. I got to move right on here. Praise the Lord. 1927, Lou Gehrig of the New York Yankees was the outstanding baseball player of the year. 1927, that's a long time ago.
Yes, yeah.
Almost 100 years ago. Everybody heard of Lou Gehrig? You know why Lou Gehrig went down as one of the greatest baseball players of all time? Does anybody know why? Amen. Well, you picked up on it. Amen. I think so. Faithfulness. Amen. Well, and the exact reason why. Amen. Was he the best baseball player of all time? No. Amen. Great God. I'm trying to see if I got it down here. Amen. But he deserved the honors. Amen. During his lifetime, he played more consecutive games than any other man in the history of the sport. He never missed a game. Every single game, they called him the pride of the Yankees. You can look over on first base. Other players is take a game or two off with a sore back or a sore toe or something else, a matter wrong with. But Lou Gehrig was over there if it felt like it. If he didn't feel like it. Oh, Lou Gehrig was over there on first base doing his job. Amen. Whether he was sick or whether he was well. Amen. He was faithful to his job. And I come to tell us right here, that's how we're going to be judged one day. How faithful are we to what God has called us to do? Amen. God, woo, always be found faithful. Jesus said, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Amen. If you're going to die, go down being faithful. Hey, so my prayer is, God, give us faithful Christians. We need people who are faithful in giving. We need people who are faithful in their attendance. We need people who can, amen, be faithful in getting along with others. Amen. Oh, God, we need faithful people. Amen. Give us faithfulness. Amen. Lord, to be willing to put you ahead of everything else. That's all God wants. That's all God wants. He wants us to put him, amen, above everything.
First, Lord.
Woo. Faithful. I got to move on here. There's more than I can preach right here tonight. Amen. I was just thinking on my mind here tonight, Brother Earl, some things we need.
Yes.
We need altar workers.
Yes.
Sister Barb, man, that bothered her more than anything. And to be honest with you, I wasn't born back in her day. But it used to tear up. She said in her day coming up, the altars were not barren. Amen.
Right.
If there was one person praying in an altar, there's three or four. And we did quite good with that tonight. Amen. But there's three or four around that one praying. Amen. Oh, be faithful. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I was thinking about you tonight, Sister Carla. I remember when Paige was up here. And that's long before most folks even know she's going to have back surgery. And she is really, amen, no doubt bothered in her mind about a lot of things. And Sister Carla come up here one night, held her hands up and prayed for her. Let the Lord use you, sis. Amen. Let the Lord use you, sisters. Let the Lord use you, brothers. Get in there at an altar somewhere. Lift somebody's hand while they're praying and say, I'm with you. I'm behind you. We're together. Amen. I'm going to pray.
news. I'm going to pray until God helps you. That's what kind of members we need again in the house of God. That's what kind of, amen, members every church needs. We need altar workers. We need people interested in having church. When they come in the doors, they say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. We don't come in here thinking about all we've done through the day. We don't come in here worried about what we got to do tomorrow. And to be honest with you, I've been kind of stressed. All this rain's got me behind. Y'all remember Doris? She passed away. I got a preacher funeral in the morning, and I still got about 50 lawns that ain't been cut. Hey, but you know what I told myself this evening? Oh, that's just got to wait. I got to put the work of God first. Hey, I come to tell us that faithfulness, church, faithfulness. Hey, is there anybody in this house where I can stand up and say, God, you can depend on me. You can count on me. Amen. God's looking for faithful members.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Bless him.
I got to move on here. God's looking for altar workers, I said. God's looking for prayer warriors. God's looking for somebody that just all it takes is like tonight. Amen. Just get a little inkling of the Spirit moving and for somebody to step out of them seats. That's what it was. I did see this in my day when I was young. And the Spirit gets to moving one little bit. Folks would step out of them seats and we'd get to feel around the front, boys.
Yeah.
They'd get to coming up there. They'd get to raise their hand. Come on, sing it. Come on, preach it. Hey. I mean, that's what God's wanting in this thing. He's wanting some people that's interested. He's wanting some people that's excited about heaven church. I was reading over what I've done with. It's on my heart and I finally found it. Over there in 1 Kings, I think it was somewhere around the 10th chapter when old David, amen, had been in king there, and that queen of Sheba had heard of the fame of David and it had spread abroad, and she said, I knew it was great. Here's what took me. Here's what I've always pondered on, Brother Tommy. She said, but the half had not yet been told me. She said, I had to come see it for myself. She said, I come in and happy are they that stand all day long as the servants of the king. Happy are they, amen, that do the work of the king. And I thought to myself tonight, oh God, oh, for the day that happy are they. I'm excited. I'm in the house of God. This is a wonderful place. This is a good place. This is a place that the Lord has ordained. And I'm happy to be in His house. I'm happy to be a part of His work. I'm happy to be a child of God. I'm happy to be called by one of His name. Amen.
Glory.
Happy, they were happy.
Jesus.
That's right. Amen. I want to be happy when I come into His presence, don't you?
Yes.
I want to be happy.
Yes.
When I come into His court. Great God. Hallelujah. Woo! We need willing workers. I remember something Scotty Marshall said one time. He said, everybody's willing. Amen. Everybody's willing to work. Yeah, everybody. 90% is willing to sit back and watch everybody else do it. Most of the time in any church, 10% of the folks do 90 to 95% of the work. And the other 90% are willing workers. They're willing to sit back and let everybody else do it.
Bless you.
Willing workers.
Yeah.
Scotty Marshall said that. You have to get over him, not me. Amen.
Yes,
great God. The club calls, we got time. The lodge calls, we got time. The neighbor calls, we got time. God calls, we ain't got time.
Come on.
Come on, brother.
Woo. Come on.
Amen.
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 Oh,
One man said, I ain't got time to come to church on Sundays anymore. Says it's the only day left that I have to play with and spend time with my family and my kids. Why is that?
Because he done give the devil the rest of his days. Amen?
Yeah.
And so now he give the devil Sundays. Amen. I tell you, the devil has stolen a lot of people's Sundays.
Yes, he has.
The devil's stolen a lot of people's church days. Amen. Woo! Why do you say that, Brother Jason? The churches would be full if folks were happy that they had a church to go to. The churches, amen, would be full if folks were just happy, amen, that they had somebody that had a burden to preach to them. Hey, God, amen, and I'm not trying to pat old Jason on the back whatsoever tonight, but you're privileged, to be honest with you. And I'd say this if I was at another man's church. You're privileged people if you got somebody that's willing to get at an altar and say, God, what's your word for your people? And so many drive icicles fill the pulpits today. Amen. Folks longing for a message of God. Folks longing, amen, for the word of God to be preached. Hey, this is wonderful, church. We ought to be happy, amen, and we have the word of God preached on a regular basis, and we hear from heaven, and we hear the voice of God. I said, it's a wonderful thing. Can you say amen? I said, it's wonderful. God moves through the preaching of the word of God.
Yes, he does.
Grasshopper on the fence sure makes a lot of noise. Ox in the field don't make much noise, but it gets the work done. Woo!
Yes, yes.
Hallelujah. Amen.
It ain't all a matter how much noise you make. It's a matter of what you get done.
Yes, sir.
Right. I used to work an iron trying to be mean here. I used to work with a bunch of people, Brother George, and they talk for an hour on all they had to do. Yep. I got to do this, and I got to do that, and I got to do this, and I got to do that. And then I done run down the hall and done about half of my work and come back and they're still talking about all they got to do.
Come on, man.
Woo! Sister Doggy knows how a hospital works. Most time you come in, they assign 15-minute breaks in the morning. Either you go 9 o'clock, 9:15, or 9:30. There's your break times. And then most of the people schedule 11:30 lunch, 11:15 lunch, 11:30 lunch, 11:45, and you alternate. But anyway, and always, you know, when you come in, what time all this is, and you sit around and twiddle your thumbs and don't get nothing done and sit and spend the whole day griping on, I ain't got time to do this. All the time you've been griping, you could have done had a lot done.
Right. Right.
And nothing bothered me much worse, Brother George, than when I've been down there working, amen, doing all I had to do to get done, amen, and then I finally get to sit down to take my break. Oh, Jason, can you help me do this? Well, I don't care to help you, amen, but I ain't going to do your work and mine too, amen, because you sit around and twiddled your thumbs, sit up there and complain about the boss, sit up there and complain about your co-worker all day, spreading gossip, amen. I wonder sometimes if the church ain't the same way. We can get so much more done. Woo! If we didn't gripe and have the preacher for dinner. Amen. Didn't gripe about everything going on other than pray. Instead fast. Instead get something done for the kingdom of God. Give us willing workers. Give us faithful workers. Give us somebody that's willing to do the work of the Lord. Woo! All we can't do without people with a vision.
That's it.
Amen. We need first a vision of the needs. All around us, there's unsaved people. All around us, there's a lot of things to be done. Jesus said, lift up your eyes. Amen. And look unto the fields, for they are white, all ready for harvest. Jesus said, there's plenty of harvest to be done. But the problem is, we ain't got no workers. The problem is we ain't got no laborers. It's a lot like today's environment, Sister Shirley Breedlove. Everybody's got signs up. Help wanted. Help wanted. Help wanted.
Yeah.
Amen. I tell you, I just about dread to even go out to a restaurant. around anymore. Other than Mexican, you can still go sit down and eat Mexican and get some service. Anywhere else, you can't get service. Amen. You sit down at a restaurant, you expect the food to be bad. You expect the service to be bad. You expect them to come back in about 25, 30 minutes and get your order. You expect them to come back a long time after that with cold food. You expect them to come back 20, 30 minutes after you eat with a bill. It's a 2-hour process to go somewhere and sit down and get a meal at a restaurant today. Oh, I come to tell us here tonight, give me a vision, Lord. There's a lot to do. There's a lot that can be done. Hey, Lord, I want to get busy. I want to win souls. Amen. Help me, God, to do something while I'm still able.
Holy, holy, holy. Woo. Yes, Lord.
Sometimes I wonder if people ain't ashamed and embarrassed of the Lord. We went out there and held up signs, and it didn't bother me one bit. I love holding a sign up, Jesus loves you.
That's right.
I love it.
People don't even carry their Bibles around anymore. There was a time people carried their Bibles around in their cars, carried their Bibles around. Amen. It might do you some good to get your Bible carried in and out to work every day. Let them see you carrying that Bible. Somebody said, what's that going to do good? Well, they might not ever ask you to go out, amen, on the town. Woo, come on now.
Yeah.
They won't ever ask you to do ungodly things. Why? Because they see that word of God. That was a time, amen, people had a vision in America, and we esteemed the word of God, and we esteemed the things of God. We've lost their vision. We brought down our morals, and now the church lives like the world.
Woo.
Bless him, Lord.
Oh, God.
Praise God. I got to move on here.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We're an optimistic people. We're always around folks who say we can't do that. Can't be done. Can't. We're taking out of our vocabulary.
You got it.
We ain't never done that before.
Bless him, Lord.
Woo! And I'm not trying to bring up old bad news, amen. But I remember when I was going to start a church, I had several people tell me it can't be done. And it can't be, unless the Lord gets in it. I wouldn't say that.
That's right.
Amen. It takes the Lord to get in anything, for anything to be done. Hallelujah. Woo!
It does take the Lord to do anything. Wow. It takes the Lord to get married these days.
Yeah.
Woo! It takes the Lord, amen, to keep families together these days.
Yes, sir.
Did you hear me? I said it takes the Lord to keep churches together in these days, amen. But we need optimistic people, people that says, amen, by God's help and by God's grace, it can be done. Glory to God. Amen. Remember when God told him, said, go down there and spy. Moses told him, said, go out there and spy out the land. They picked them out, 12 spies. Only 2's remembered. You know why? Because instead of saying it can't be done, only 2 of them 12 said it can be done.
Right.
And we remember their names. The rest of the 10, their history. You know why? Because Moses sent them there and said, go down and look at this land and see if it can be possessed. See if we can take the land. See if we can build a church. See if we can have revival. See if we can have a move of God. It can't be done, Brother Jason. Everybody's sinners nowadays. Ain't nobody living right. Hey, I come to tell you, there's still a Caleb. There's still a Joshua that'll stand and say, God can still have revival. God can still pour His Spirit. We can still have a church and build a church today.
So they sent them out, and they went down there, and they seen there was giants in the land.
Yeah.
They seen pods of grapes, something they could take men to carry them. Amen.
That's the truth.
Woo! Wow, can you see? Imagine how big them tomatoes were. Potatoes.
Yeah.
Woo! But anyway, they come down to the land, and Moses said, what's the word? 10 of them said, oh, man, it's a wonderful land.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. You ain't never seen nothing like this. But, there's always a but. But, there's giants down there. And we can't take the land. We are like grasshoppers in their sight. Ooh. Amen. There's big men down there, and we don't stand a chance against them.
Jesus.
Caleb and Joshua said, oh, look, can we speak? Amen. What about it, Moses? What Moses said, what about it? Amen. They said, oh, yes, we agree with them. It's a beautiful land. It's a wonderful land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. Woo! It's a prosperous land. There's giants in that land. But by God's help and grace, we can take the land. Hey, give us some people that believe something can be done. Give us some people that still believe God can lay hands on the sick and they recover. Give us some people that still believe the Holy Ghost can be poured out in this day. Amen. Reach, don't let the Holy Ghost die. She just prayed through. Amen. A couple weeks ago, a burning one of the more powerful revivals I've ever been in my life. It was a wonderful time. I come to tell us, God's still pouring out revival. He's still saving souls. He's still having revival. God can do it. Amen.
Lord, amen.
Yes.
Glory. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. God's looking for industrious working people. Sister Barb always said, God won't bless a lazy man, he can't. How's God going to bless a lazy man? Woo! I'll spare some of my jokes that I've heard through the years. Amen. Praise God. But Jesus said that my Father worketh, hitherto I work. Jesus said the Father works and I work.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. He filled every hour with service to the Lord. And as you read through the Bible, you find working men. Moses, Noah built the ark. David, amen, laid up for the temple. David built the kingdom. John the Baptist, Peter, Paul, were all industrious working men. Great God, the church. Oh, amen, it must be filled with workers, hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen. We need industrious people, hallelujah. Amen. Great God. And once again, I got to throw some things in here. I want to get a chance. And I know we're a small church. Amen. But we ought to have pride for the house of God.
Right.
Amen. If something needs done, we ought to have four or five men easy come out here and say, hey, I want to work on the house of God. We have cleaning day. About once a year, we come in here and scrub these beams. Scrub these walls. Scrub these carpets. Amen. Clean up on the house of God. We are to have industrious people that'll say, hey, I want to work on the house of God. I want to get busy doing the Lord's work. I want to get busy. That's what kind of people the church needs. A church like that will never die because people love their church too much to let it die. We need boosters. What is boosters, Brother Jason? We need people who goes up behind, like Sister Carla did Paige the other night. Patting her on the back, praying for her, boosting her along.
That's it. That's it.
Woo! Brother Tommy's a wonderful booster. Hasn't he boosted you through the years? What you need is sometimes you just need a boost.
That's
good. There you go. Woo! That old starter went out on my truck here. To beat everything else, amen. That's went bad lately. Amen. That crazy Toro mower I went and bought, had 2 hours on it, won't run. It's in the sun. Yeah, when it rains, it pours, Brother George. Hey, so anyway, we get all the way out there, one of the farthest yards that I have, amen. Away, I mean way out. And to get out there, and the truck won't start, amen. Woo! While I was in Indiana, I paid that crazy guy $200 to come. Folks supposed to fix it, and he said that's what was wrong with it. Well, guess what, Brother George? That wasn't wrong with it. Amen. And so the starter, I guess, finally went out on that old truck. I called that guy. I said, what in the world am I going to do now? He said, I'll tell you what you could do. Amen. Here we was parked in a bind down in like a little gully because I had to try to get off the road. And the starter's on that side, Brother George on the passenger side. Amen. Luckily, old Bill only weighs about 130 pounds Mark said get out there with a screwdriver, amen, or with a pair of pliers, and he said arc him two bolts over on that starter, amen. I looked in there, I couldn't even get to it. I'm sure glad Bill's skinny, amen, and Bill barely was. able to get in there, and I heard the sparks of fire, and I thought he was going to blow the computer out of my truck. And I said, hold it, Bill, hold it. And I said, let me get over here. I said, hit her again. And he hit, and I heard the sparks of fire, and I turned the key, Brother Anthony, you know, and we finally boosted that old starter, amen. And you know what? It got started, amen. And we got up out of it. I come tell you, sometimes that's all somebody needs is a little boost. Mark them over, amen. Lord, give us boosters. Give us somebody that's willing to push the work of God. Give us somebody that's willing to give it their all.
Yes, Lord.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Church needs generous people. You'll never find a church that's ever prospered that doesn't have generous people.
That's right.
And just to be honest, putting it up front, I feel like we have very generous people right here.
Yeah.
Anytime there's ever been a need, there's been several needs. People sitting here, nah. And we said, we need a special offering. Matter of fact, I forgot. We're going to take a special offering up here tonight. And I'm not looking for a lot, but whatever we can take up. And I told Michelle we should get paid something. She's up there in that children's hospital, and she's had a major surgery. And they're starting to send something up there, but then they have to haul it back, so we're going to make her a get-well basket and get some stuff together. Whatever you women and these girls knows that she likes, and we'll even take the rest and give her some money or get it, put it on a Visa card and let her take a shopping spree when she's able to get out.
Yes.
Sometimes a generous act goes a long way.
Yes, it does.
Woo, amen. Oh, it takes generous people. It takes people that's willing to sacrifice and give. Amen. When a millionaire gives $50,000, everybody stands back and says, ooh, look at how much he, $50,000. But the question is not how much he gave, how much does he have left? He still got $950,000 left.
Yeah.
But when that widow, Brother Anthony, went down there with her two mites, and she threw him two mites in the pen, and everybody in that house of doctors and the lawyers, they was looking around, amen, almost to stuff up their nose. We gave 1,000 times more than that. But oh, the question isn't how much did you give? The question is how much did you have left over after you gave? And Jesus looked at him in the temple and said, this little widow woman has given more than you all. It knocked the wind out of them. It hair lifted them. And they thought, how'd she give more than us? Because when she gave the two mites, she didn't have nothing else left to give. I come to tell us, every church has got to the place it's got because of generous people that's willing to sacrifice for the kingdom of God.
Yes. Amen. Glory.
Woo.
Yes, Lord.
Give us altar workers. Amen. Give us people that love one another.
Yes, Jesus.
That's the kind of people we need in the church today.
Lord, Lord.
I told Michelle earlier, my throat hurt me so bad last night, I thought I was going to have to, thought I had strep throat. I told her tonight, I always tell her this before I come to church, I said, all I'm going to be able to do is talk tonight. You can always stand there and talk. See how that goes for me. I'm going to pay for this later. But anyway, we need generous people, don't we, Brother Daniel?
Yes, Lord, yes.
We need people that's willing to say, amen. I thought about when Harry Ironside, I've told the story before, when Harry Ironside and that, what was it, that Dallas Seminary School, Baptist, you know, it was a Bible college anyway, and they had a lot of bills coming in and they weren't able to make the bills. They weren't able to make the payments. The creditors were coming, the bank was coming, and within a matter of days, they was going to repossess that Bible college. Harry Ironside prayed the last prayer. They met. They said, what are we going to do? They said, all we can do is let's gather, let's pray, let's thank all the staff, let's thank everybody for their several years of dedication and service. Let's thank God for allowing us to have this Bible call. Let's get in here and have one of the last prayer meetings anyway. Brother Anthony, they gathered in there, and Harry Ironside, I got many books by him. Harry Ironside got in there, began to preside over the prayer. They said,
and begin to pray. Thank God for the college. Thank God for the staff. Thank God for them years of service that he allowed them to be there. Amen. And just giving God thanks for all that he had already done in the past.
And there was a knock on the door.
It was the secretary. She was out front. And they was praying. And they heard the knock. But they thought, well, we better knock. So they kept trying to pray. They couldn't pray at old secretary. Kept on knocking on the door. And they finally opened the door. She said, Dr. Ironside, you got to hear this. Amen. What is it? He's in the, but anyway, I forgot an important part. While he was praying, he said, oh God, I know you that you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Woo. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. And he said, Lord, amen, all you got to do is sell some cattle, amen, and you'll be able to pay the bills here at this Bible college. And a knock on the door came. Secretary came running in with a pile full of money in her hand. And she said, you'd never believe what happened. And he said, what's that? She said, well, some old farmer dressed in bibbed overalls, I guess he must be a pretty well-known farmer, had just took a bunch of cattle off to the market and sold a lot of cattle. And he said the Lord had really blessed him this year above and beyond that he had in past years. And he was driving by this Bible college and something spoke to him and said, go over there and give him such and such money. Hey! And he said he drove by and he gave it to me up there at the front desk. Not enough to pay the bills and keep it open for a while longer. I come to tell us that's the way God works. That's the way his economy works. God's a good God. His work will go on as long as there's generous people.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Bless my heart the other night. Brother Rich preached the gospel for years. John Rich. I don't know how old he is, Brother Tommy. 85 plus, pushing 90, I think.
Right.
And now he's got this little ministry. He can't travel. He still goes to Panama once or twice a year, Brother George. He spent his life, Sister Rich, little clip they have. He has church at his house now, and he preaches about 7 minutes.
Oh.
And they video it. And Sister Rich sings a little song. And Brother Rich, he's so feeble and so wore out. His body's so... it really hurt me in a lot of ways, Sister Dottie. He was stumbling around to read his text. Stuttering, forgetting the words. And that's how bad his mind was. And I thought, wow, this was so powerful. The girl said, is that preacher Dad talks about all the time? I said, yes, girls, but there was a time when this guy preached every camp meeting. There was a time this guy had the power. There was a time this guy preached in, I forget, 30-something countries. And this guy, Brother Earl Steele, amen, backs and pushes stuff. How many she say? 26 or 27 churches in Panama. Right now, Sister Rich still has a sharp mind, Brother Rich. He's about gone. Amen. But glory to God. And I thought to myself, here he is. Can't even think straight. Amen. His mind ain't even really all there. And he's still trying to preach 7 or 8 minute sermon. And they're still telling about what God's doing in Panama. That's how the work of God goes on. That's how the work. God give us people. Amen. Not only generous with their money, but generous with their life. To say, I'm going to lay it out there for the work of God.
That's it.
Tim Hudson's daughter, I recently heard him say, oh, Mixler, he's preaching Driving Road. And I recently heard him say that his daughter's back from China. She was able to get out before they locked things down over there. But Brother Tim Hudson's daughter, I heard at Richlands 2 or 3 years ago, one of the last times they had it before they shut it down for coronavirus. I heard her get up there, and I felt that in her voice, and she said, the Lord's called me. And I'm preaching longer than I usually do. Amen. She said, the Lord has called me to missionary, go into China and take the gospel in there. Brother Earl, she has to go in there as a teacher. She is a teacher. But anyway, she's over there as a missionary, but she's a teacher. That way to keep them off her back. And I heard her Richlands, Brother Tommy, crying. And she said, if it means that I'll never marry, she said, that'll be fine with me as long as I can carry the gospel.
Dear Lord.
To a heathenistic land.
Oh, God.
Woo! You're talking about people that's willing to give it all up for the Lord. She said, I may never have a job, but I'm going to carry the gospel. Man, I can't tell you what that done to me through the years. I thought about that and thought about that. I thought, oh, God, give us men and women that cares that much about the Word of God, that cares that much about the gospel, that's willing to put their life on hold and put God first.
Yes, yes, Lord.
Stand with me in this house. I'm done.
Oh, Jesus.
Thank you, mighty God.
Bless you, God.
If you love the Lord,
thank you, man.
You need not be afraid of giving too much. He'll never ask too much of you.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
God can get along without rich folks.
That's right.
God can use rich people. Mm-hmm. I've listened to so much preaching. Jack Hiles, Brother Earl, tells, and I know I've told you I like to listen to Ohio stuff. Jack Hiles tells that when he took that church in Hammond, Indiana, which later became the biggest Sunday school of all time, at one time I think he ran like 20,000 members, but half of them was bus. They bussed people in all over Chicago, into the lower part of Chicago, Hammond, Indiana, down in Indiana. But anyway, Brother Charlie, I just heard him tell this story again the other day. When he first come in there, woo, some of you like this. When he first come in there, he started pushing them bus ministries and started bringing all them poor kids in. Jack Hiles was always for bus ministries because he got saved as a bus kid in Sunday school. And he tells how that the first pair of shoes he ever owned in his life, his Sunday school teacher bought them for him. He was so poor. I think he said they lived in about 16 or 18 different houses in the first several years of his life. Amen. But anyway, Ohio tells, he got up there and he got the bus minister really got to rolling. And they got, I guess, 10, 20, 30. They had all kinds of buses running all over Chicago, busing them in. And they had a lot of people in that church that had a lot of money. He got the name of the people that owned big stores, people that owned people that basically ran the town. And he said, they sent one fellow in particular to me and said, Jack, we've had enough of these buses. Said, look over there at that parking lot. Said, it's leaking oil all over our parking lot. Said, D.L. Moody, he didn't have that. Listen to this, Brother Tom. He said, oh no, because the bus had not been invented in Moody's day. I didn't know this, but I researched and studied it out, and it's true. Moody had horse-drawn carriages that he traveled Chicago carriaging them in on horse and buggy, amen. And he said, well, look over there, them old vans is leaking oil out on the parking lot. He said, I wonder what Moody's parking lot was leaking out on. Woo! Well, he said, all that oil leaking out of them vans, he said, it stinks. He said, I wonder what Moody's parking lot smelled like. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Anyway, make a long story short, they really put the pressure on Ohio's, and they said, either you shut the bus ministry down. They said, and they got the name. They named 10 or 15 of them mega millionaires that went to that church. They said, or we're gone. Shut the bus ministry down, or we're gone.
Dear Lord.
He said, I already prayed this through in the hills, even from Texas. In the hills of Texas years ago, he said, I always told the Lord, he had three or four steps I'm going to put first. He said, I'm going to put you first above everything. He said, it's not even a question. We'll never, as long as I'm pastor of this church, he said, we'll never shut the bus ministry down. He said, you can throw me out of here and kick me out, and I'm going to go right across the street and start another church. He said, or I'm going to stay right here, and we're going to run these buses. He said, 10 or 15 mega millionaires ran out of that church. They left, and they went across town to another church and took their money. And to make a long story short, you know what? How God blessed that place? Amen. They started a high school. They started, you could go to school up there, K through 12, graduate, and then they started a college, and it told about how that God did this and God did that. All just normal local Joes, amen. Hey, God, I come to tell you, God's got people, amen. Woo! Woo! Hey, this is a lot more than I planned on shoveling out tonight, to be honest with you, before I started, I didn't feel this good, amen. I come to tell you, God will get his work across. Hey! It don't take a millionaire. It don't take the 15 church over it. It just takes people that says, hey, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And with somebody with a mind frame like that, God can have revival. Amen. Why should you press plagues? Let's bow our heads tonight, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for this little sermon you laid on my heart tonight. I thank you for giving me voice enough to preach it to you. Amen. God, I pray you'd still with us right here tonight. About 25 of us here on a Thursday night. I pray you'd still in our hearts, Lord. To put you first. Be faithful. Be willing, Lord. Be willing workers. Be generous. Be altar workers. Love one another. Prefer our brothers before ourselves. Oh, God. Lord, would you do a work right here, right now? Feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Oh, God. Lord, would you unify our hearts and our work? Lord, would you unify us together tonight? Amen. Because this is the kind of people we've got to have for the work of God. Woo! Would there be one in this house tonight? Would there be one that'll step out here and say, Brother Jason, I want to be one of them that church can't. I want to be one of them that church can't make it without me, amen. I want to be a backbone. I want to be a pillar. I want to be one God can count on. I want to be one the pastor can count on. I want to be loyal. I want to be faithful. I want to be one God can trust. Come on, come on. Is there some in the house? He'd allow the Lord, amen, to speak, amen, his love and compassion. And God to speak his power of unity. Amen, to bring revival to Huntington right here tonight. I believe you want to do it. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? Do you really want the Lord to help you tonight? Amen. keep